Philip was born at Bethsaida in Galilee and was first called by the name of disciple. He labored diligently in Upper Asia and suffered martyrdom at Heliopolis in Phrygia. He was scourged, thrown into prison, and afterwards crucified. 54 AD. Hello again, Paul.
Oh, hey.
It's good to see you.
How in the world are you? It's good to see you.
I'm pretty good. Have you ever wondered, or have you ever asked the question, or did your mother ever tell you what your name meant?
They did. Well, my dad did, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
How young did you know?
We were pretty young.
Okay.
Cause I want to say like around 10.
Well, maybe, did he like maybe sit 8. You down?
No, he wasn't like,
son,
sit down.
This is what your name means.
I actually don't remember how that conversation went, but it was like me and my two younger siblings were like, we want to know what our names mean.
Okay.
It was kind of like it just kind of came up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
This is like dinner time. We're just like hanging out on the couch.
Yeah. And we're just like, what in the? It's kind of like when you're a kid and you can't remember what your middle name is.
Yeah.
And like they have to tell you over and over.
I don't remember that.
Oh, really? I actually remember that vividly.
Really?
Yeah. Someone asked me, like, what's your middle name? I was like, I don't know. I was like, hey, Mom, what's my middle name?
You're like frantic.
Yeah.
What is your middle name?
Franklin Thomas.
That you have two middle names?
I actually have two.
Is it hyphenated?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it hyphenated?
I actually don't know. I guess my parents were fans, which is funny because me
of Franklin Thomas?
No, just a hyphen, I guess. Because me and my younger brother...
They should have just called you Hyphen.
Hyphen. Paul Hyphen.
No, but the symbol.
But,
so just...
It's just... Yeah. It looks like my last name is just...
Your first and last name are hyphenated.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
I know.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, what's your middle name? It's Hyphen.
It's Hyphen.
But just the...
Like, it's hyphenated?
The way you said that was so German. It's Hyphen. I guess that'd be more Swedish, Nordic. Hyphen.
reader.
Oh, I guess like, yeah. That is closer to where you're from. Midwest.
It's on the whole other side.
Yeah, that's
though.
A good point.
Yeah.
That's one of so those fun. Great lakes.
Yeah. One of those great, the greatest of lakes.
Oh, how great they are.
What's your middle name?
My middle name is Reggie.
Oh, that's cool.
It's interesting though, because it's technically short for Reginald.
Yeah.
Technically, except it's not for me.
There's just Reggie.
Yeah,
that's
so
like government.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
The government gave it to me.
Wow. They used to do that.
And your name shall be.
It's all Ellis Island right there.
Oh yeah. Well, that makes sense. But like, they would change your name
because they're just like, we don't know how to say that. It's,
right.
It's this now.
Yeah. Names are weird though, because like
yeah.
So yeah. So the thing that was annoying for me was, and still it still kind of happens. I feel like more people, like, because I'm a little bit older, they, like, don't ask more about it. But my middle name is Reggie.
Yeah.
Which typically, as a first name, would be short for Reginald.
Right.
Which is not my middle name. My middle name is Reggie.
So yeah.
When people would ask me and I would tell them what my middle name is, they would be like, oh, short for Reginald? And I'd be like,
no.
Why would I shorten my middle name?
That's a good point.
Why would I just lie to you?
My middle name is a nickname.
Yeah. It's yeah. Like I don't like why would I do
that's
that?
That's actually that's funny. Yeah.
So like yeah, I don't
why
know.
Why would I do that?
I can't even think of it like what's your middle name? Oh, it's John, short for Johnny.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't Johnny short for John? I can't even
well,
think
John's
of
like the regular name. Johnny's okay. Like the nickname for it.
There okay, are a few so names. Johnny.
Like my name is like all the nicknames are longer than my actual name.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like it's not short for anything. It's just
yeah.
You wanted to dress it up a little bit.
You mean your first name?
Yeah, my first name.
It should be Polyanus.
That's right. That's the government official.
Is it really?
No. You know what's funny? So actually funny story about my name.
Is that Greek though? Polyanus?
I think cuz it's a Latin name, just like Paulus or something or
oh yeah, it is Latin.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, so
it's actually Roman, but
that's true.
Built in, yeah.
But they spoke Latin.
Well, yeah, derived from, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting all technical True. Over here.
So funny story.
That's good. so my parents, so my dad, his name is Franklin Thomas Yulee.
Okay.
And he was like, I really want a junior. And okay. So it's funny, there's something about certain guys that are like, I want them to have my name.
That's a good
I
point.
I don't share that.
I don't either.
But it's funny that my mom didn't either. She's just like, uh-uh.
Well, she's not a guy.
That's true. She's like, I will not have a little Franklin Jr. running around.
That sounds like a TV show.
Franklin Jr.
Yeah.
And so they Franklin Jr. went back and forth on it for a long time.
Okay.
And then one day, my dad doesn't even know why. He's just like, how about Paul?
Okay.
And my mom went... Yes, because she just didn't want it to be Franklin.
Confirmation yeah. from the Lord. Yeah. Oh, so your middle name is your dad's first and middle hyphenated.
Yeah.
Did it have to be hyphenated?
No, I don't know why they chose the hyphen.
They like it.
I guess they liked it.
Yeah.
But here's what's funny about that is, so my dad grew up Catholic.
Okay, that is funny.
And it's hilarious, right? Real knee slapper. And oh, I'm trying to remember what it was.
My mom grew up Catholic.
But they actually get like a Christian name.
I wonder if they knew each other.
They may have.
If you're
Every
Catholic.
Every Catholic knows
each
other.
That's true.
But,
Christian name.
Because I can't remember why, but they get like a new name.
Okay.
And my dad's name was Paul.
Is it after catechism?
I think so,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so his was Paul.
Oh, weird.
And so, I don't think that
name
was
actually changed to Paul.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in a way, I am
a
strange junior.
Oh, so your first name
is my dad's Catholic new name.
Is your dad's like salvific realized new name.
Yeah.
Or I guess coming of age name.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly why they get it or what that's for, but that's Yeah, that's the one that he had.
Hmm.
I was like, that's kind of funny. So he, in a way, got his way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you end up being... yeah. Oh, he's sneaky.
He's sneaky, right? And my mom didn't know that until like a few years ago.
She didn't know his Christian name?
No.
That's crazy. But yeah, I always, for me, it was like all people, I'd always be like, yeah, my middle name's Reggie. Short for Reginald? No.
No.
And it's like, well, we're not going to be friends. I'm not. Why would you ask such a question?
It is kind of a silly question when you think about it. Yeah.
Well, because I wouldn't explain it. I would just go, no. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, why would I ask that question? I've never asked or heard anybody ask
and
that question.
They just
question
walk away in shame. They pull their pants down and then they just walk. And I'm not going to explain why I said
I was
that.
Say, that is so deep of an inside joke. No one's, all right, let's just bypass it.
We'll keep going.
I like that.
But there is a way to know if you're in the know.
Still, even more confusing.
You have to watch Tipsy Theology.
Oh, did I say it there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I thought it was just like we were hanging out and I said that.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. So go watch our episodes on Tipsy Theology.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. But we didn't talk about what your name means.
No, so my name actually means small or humble.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the other?
Which I guess they were foreshadowing because I'm not a tall person.
What's the other one? Yeah.
They should have picked something else.
Which is funny because Paul and Stephen. Do you know what Stephen means?
I don't.
Stephen means crowned one.
Oh.
Or of royalty and
Heck yeah.
renown.
Oh, you're a man of... Renown?
Huh?
Topic shift.
But it is funny because Paul means small and humble.
Yeah.
And Stephen means crowned one.
Yeah.
Or strong and of royalty and
That's
renown.
That's crazy.
So like our names mean the opposite of each other.
And it's funny because biblically, the small one took out the crowned one.
Yeah.
That's wild, actually.
That's true. And then he was humbled.
Yeah, which is kind of a salvation story right there.
It is.
That's kind of cool.
The Bible's full of salvation stories.
It's literally everywhere. Literally everywhere.
It's literally all you'll find.
Yeah. The whole thing's actually about that.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert
we
on the Bible.
Finished the book yet.
It's got a really good ending.
It's
that
really
hasn't
good.
Happened yet. Huh?
Or
Or, or it was fully fulfilled in 70 AD.
And this, if this is the new spot, we got a lot of explaining to do.
Oh, boy. Well, I think it's theme song time.
It's time to write some music.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And we're back.
That was a good snap.
It was. Thank you.
So you had a shower thought today.
A shower thought. Yeah, I was going to think. I was thinking about coining that
thinking.
Phrase. I was going to think, and then I thought. Yeah, I had a, which is funny because Martyrs Row, the name, was a shower thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like all of a sudden I just was taking a shower, and I was like, what am I doing here?
That's what every significant decision has been made in the shower for
yeah.
the show.
Well, because it's like the one place now that like you can't, like, I guess some people do stay on their phones or like.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, it's like just get away from it for at least a little bit. But
there's very few places where we can actually be alone with our thoughts.
Yeah.
And the shower seems to be one of those.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It is great. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a time warp.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like, was that 3 minutes or 30 minutes?
It's kind of nice.
Don't know.
I have no clue. Yeah. No way to know. I have no way to know.
No way of knowing. When you get out, it's like whatever time it was, it is.
That's so good. I've been thinking about switching back to my flip phone.
Okay.
Because it's like, I just hate staring at that screen.
Well, on behalf of all the people watching, we support you.
Thank you. Comment below if you support my decision. I won't see it because I don't have a smartphone anymore. But
that's true.
Yeah.
You can just believe.
I will believe.
Just have faith.
The Christmas magic.
That we're all behind you. Yeah, so I had a shower thought because, to be honest with you, the first couple of episodes was like, oh, like there's something there. Okay, let's make up something. And then the last episode just kind of fell apart into this weird country mush.
They can't all be winners.
So I was like, I was just like, you know, a couple hours ago, I was like taking a shower. And I'm like, oh, we need to have something. Like I need to actually think about it before walking in. And like, and then it just, a song popped out.
Heck yeah.
So I'm actually going to ask you to do something.
Okay.
because there's a call and response, like there's a layered thing in the chorus. And this is going to be really hard because you haven't heard this.
I've never heard this. Yeah.
And this just popped into my head a couple hours ago.
Okay.
So in some ways, I haven't really heard it either.
That's part of what this is for.
That's true.
That's what we're doing.
So
here.
It's still pretty raw. But we'll figure it out. But, all right, so.
You call and I'll respond.
Yeah, so the. So we're in D. So it follows that melody. So I need you to go. Martyrs Row.
Martyrs Row.
Yeah.
When you hit that?
Yeah, so when we get to the chorus, that's on the downbeat. 2, 3, 4.
Martyrs Row.
Yeah.
Martyrs Row.
Okay.
Martyrs Row.
Yeah.
Like some gang vocals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, right on.
So, but that's actually the lead part, and then I'm going to echo it.
Oh, heck yeah.
In a different way.
I'm excited.
We'll try, and I'll see if I can remember it.
Okay.
Because I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but it's minimal. I know you're like...
I know. I have access to
it. It's okay.
I've never read the lyrics, though. I just know where they are.
So we'll just try it, and we'll see if I can remember it. And if not, then I'll reset, and we'll figure it out.
Sweet. And they don't even know this happened.
I know. That's true. Good point. Yeah. We could just edit all this.
It's so true.
But we're not, because you guys are here with us.
This is the writing room.
That's true. Oh, yeah, I guess this is writing room.
Yeah.
So I'll just start it and see if I can remember it.
Okay.
Honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our life, for Christ in Him crucified. We honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our life, for Christ in Him. Crucified.
Here he goes.
Martyrs Row. Row. Martyrs Row.
Try that verse again.
Honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our lives, for Christ in Him crucified. We honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our lives, for Christ in Him crucified. Martyrs Row.
Fun. That was fun, dude.
That's my pop punk.
Yes.
There's a few things that I could do that could make it more pop.
Our vibe, though. I
know, because it's like a little bit droning and dark.
Yeah.
But it has a poppy lyric to it.
It does.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like, yeah. And then the lyric just kind of fell into place.
That
and I was
so,
like,
that's so cool.
Oh, this is exactly what the show is.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Oh, you know what'd be kind of fun? I just had this thought.
Okay.
Is if we did like a gang vocal thing for the Martyrs Row.
And we had everybody add their gang vocal.
Yes.
That would be cool.
If people sent in, we'll put up like a link for people to upload their recording to.
Yeah.
And then we just layer it all on.
That'd be cool.
That'd be actually kind of fun.
Well, we could also have them like, yeah. I was going to say like sing the verses and stuff too. But,
oh, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I
that was actually really fun. I want to get like
I had to make up for last week.
Gritty bass.
Yeah. I know, it's like, yeah, don't.
That's your apology song.
Yeah, yeah. It's my swan song.
You don't have to apologize for anything.
Just like a droning.
Just like a bagpipe.
Like the, what does a didgeridoo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Some throat singing.
That like Mongolian throat singing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what I did, but it wasn't that. It was just.
But we should have that.
All right. Well, this is significantly shorter than last week, too.
Yeah, it helps when you come in with something.
I know.
It's kind of fun.
It kind of makes me want to just do this as the thing.
I kind of like it.
Do you want to do it one more time?
Yeah, let's do it again. Yeah. I feel like I want to do
maybe
something.
I can get it a little bit cleaner.
Should I like beatbox over it? No.
I'll see if I can make the melody a little bit more pop punk.
Okay.
And we'll just see what happens. You want to try it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so.
We honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our life, for Christ in Him crucified. We honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our lives, for Christ in Him crucified. Martyrs Row, we honor those who came before.
Martyrs Row,
we honor those who came before.
Martyrs Row,
we honor those who came before.
Martyrs Row,
Martyrs Row, we honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our lives, for Christ in Him crucified. We honor those who came before, who suffered and died for the Lord. For this alone we give up our lives, for Christ in Him crucified.
Martyrs Row, Martyrs Row.
Too high. We're gonna go
Martyrs Row. Martyrs Row.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Back to it.
We're here.
Here we are. Paul, I think I had a question for you.
Ooh.
But I don't remember what it was.
Boy, was I excited.
What was the question?
And we're back.
Welcome back.
Paul, I've got a question.
I can't stop saying that.
Welcome back.
That was our best snap.
I like the energy of, like, we just ended with instruments calm. And then just so like, much, so much energy. That's what, hey, that's what you're here for.
Welcome.
All the energy.
To here for our energy.
What? Welcome to here for our energy. Those
Speak
who have
English
eyes
good,
to hear.
I do.
Those who have eyes to hear and ears to see. I tried to say that, but I said it on accident.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, I have a question for you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, full of joy. Okay, here's my question. As a Paul, I feel like you should be able to answer this question.
Yeah.
Was Paul, the apostle, excommunicated?
Based on some of the letters that I've seen this boy write, I'm sure they were like, can we find a reason, please? But are you saying excommunicated from the... like the early Christian church?
I just like...
Or from like...
I feel like one of the things that our podcast does well is go, hang on, what does that word mean and where is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
So I like asking a question that confuses the language.
It's pretty good.
So excommunicated is specifically a Catholic...
I was going to say, isn't that like only a like Christian Catholic thing?
It is, but it's the word itself, but the principle shows up all over the place.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the Jewish form of that would be. Because, so Paul...
I think stoning.
Yeah, good point. So I was excommunicated.
Yeah, you were excommunicated.
By stoning.
And Paul was like 3 times then in that case.
Yeah, good point. That's crazy. Like, if you don't know or haven't read your Bible enough, Paul was literally stoned to death but didn't die.
Yeah, and he walked back into the same city.
Yeah, apparently they just left him for dead.
Yeah.
And then he just like, ugh.
That tickled.
Oof. That was a rough night. And then just gets up and walks back into the city. There had to be at least one person who was like, is that a ghost?
I'm pretty sure you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, dude, I threw a rock at your face.
But it does make me wonder. It's like, was that like a one-off thing where it's like that never happens? Or is it like kind of common where like we thought we got him, but like... Well, it's not a 100% success rate.
Yeah, but you also think about, like, wildlife.
Oh, true.
You know what I mean?
Because if you're beaten to an inch of your life, something's going to come out and grab you.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing of, like, the Good Samaritan.
True.
Like, the person that was beaten on the road, he obviously wanted help.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to get eaten by animals.
Yeah, true.
Or I guess, like...
He's out in the sun, so, like, there's no way for him to take care of himself.
Well, we don't know what time of day it is.
I'm just assuming. From the animations I've seen.
And this is your animation Bible podcast.
Yeah, that's where I make all my decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that does shape our worldview.
Yeah.
Majorly. We need to do a whole episode on like why cartoon Bible stories are wrong.
And you shouldn't watch them.
Yeah. Or at least know that the storylines are all mostly made up.
And why specifically VeggieTales?
Don't trust the veggies.
You're right.
Don't trust the veggies.
Not the veggies. The vegetable stories.
So was Paul excommunicated?
Well, so that makes me, I guess, ask a question with that. Because part of his ministry is he was going from city to city. And he was first going to the temples.
Right.
And reasoning with them there. And then out into the streets.
Sure.
And so if he was excommunicated, maybe the word didn't spread fast enough.
Mm.
But do you think he would not be allowed back into the temples then?
Oh, potentially. My guess would be he probably wasn't allowed into the temple.
And that's when he went to Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. And because like we see that, like we were talking about this before, but we see that Paul was called Saul.
Yeah.
And then becomes Paul.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is because I don't know if you're the same way. I was always under the impression that his name was changed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God gave him a new name. Or,
well, we see like Simon become Peter.
Right.
It's characteristic of Jesus to do that.
But it's interesting because then when you look through it, there's actually no indication that he was given a new name.
Sure.
And actually, I believe it was a writing, it might have been, I think it was from Peter, where he says, and Saul, also known as Paul.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, so it's like, wait, so he has two names?
Sure. But also Peter saying that is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Peter, so we don't actually know, I guess technically all the disciples would have studied at the feet of a rabbi.
Yeah.
Because they all studied it with Jesus. But then are they recognized as rabbis? So as students of a rabbi, are the disciples technically recognized as rabbis within the Jewish tradition at the time?
I don't think they would be.
Well, and there's no indication.
Part of it I say is because when they went up to speak in front of leaders, they'd be like, who are these unlearned men?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like they made, like Jesus, it was kind of like watching on YouTube. Where it's like, yeah, you have the equivalent of a business degree, but it's YouTube University.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, or like, yeah, like golf. My only reference is
golf.
I
hope I don't get struck by lightning for calling Jesus YouTube.
No, but it's that type of thing. Is it's like, there's a particular, like I use golf as the example just because like on YouTube, it's like there's this whole league of, I think this is within a bunch of sports too, but like there's this whole league of YouTube golfers.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is kind of a hotter thing right now, but there's a
for
whole
your algorithm,
I
maybe.
Know, yeah. But it's like there's these YouTube golfers, but people that are actually like on the PGA Tour, so they're like tour professionals.
Oh.
That it's a completely different requirement.
Hmm.
And they're seen as amateurs because technically they have like amateur cards, like they're not considered pros.
Yeah.
But they potentially could beat a pro in a one-on-one match. So it's like there's this interesting thing where it's like there's this society that you have to work your way into based on their rules.
Yeah, true.
And then there's YouTube where you don't have to do that. You can just be that and build your own market and be like, well, I have more people watching my videos than are watching you on network television.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I feel like that has happened through history in different ways. But YouTube, I feel like, is a good example.
Yeah. Because it has opened up a lot of information and people to things that normally you have to go to school for or go be an apprentice for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is one of those things is like, well, technically, I mean, Jesus is not YouTube, but it's a good like example of like maybe it was like this.
Yeah.
Where it was really like he was technically learned under rabbis.
True.
So anybody who learned under him would be studying with a rabbi.
Yeah.
And they called him rabbi.
Yeah, they did.
So there you have all, and he was allowed to stand in the synagogue and read from the scroll.
True.
Like we know that.
It's a big deal.
It is. But I'm pretty sure that only rabbis could do that.
Oh, okay.
Or at least
it would, I mean, it makes
leadership
sense.
Within the synagogue.
Because you'd have to be in some position where they're like, yeah, give that man the mic.
Well, even now, you have to be like an assistant rabbi.
Yeah.
In a temple, like down the street from here. You'd have to be an assistant rabbi to actually preach a sermon in a temple.
It makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Sense.
But, yeah, so...
Well, it's interesting with the disciples, too, because they were called disciples.
Right.
So it's like they weren't even called, like, I mean, I don't know what else you call them.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
they
like,
never...
As far as, like, a rabbi trainee.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know if... Yeah, I mean, that is the language.
And I wonder
like
if
disciples
part of that,
of a rabbi,
because it was different from the normal tradition that a rabbi would be going through.
Sure.
It's like you're learning a different tradition, so it would be something different.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I never thought about that. Like, we don't really call our pastors rabbis.
Right, yeah.
But we call each other disciples.
Yeah.
So we're kind of using the
that
terminology.
Same language. Yeah.
Yeah, but not fully playing it out.
Yeah.
So is Paul excommunicated?
And I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, because going back to the idea that, like, at some point Saul becomes Paul.
Yeah.
But nobody ever gives him the name Paul.
Yeah.
So how does he go from Saul to Paul?
So my understanding from what I've been reading is, like, he has two names.
Okay.
He has his his Roman name.
Okay.
And he has his Jewish name or his Hebrew name.
Yeah.
So Saul being his Hebrew name, because that's the thing about it where, whenever his ministry starts, is it Acts 12 or Acts 13 somewhere in that area?
Yeah.
Where he's going from different cities and he's like, oh, then he went to this one, and then he went to that one.
Yeah.
And he went to Cyprus, and then the next one it says Saul and I can't remember who went with him went to Cyprus. Then the next one is like Paul and Barnabas go to the next place.
Yeah, it just switches his name.
Yeah. And there's no explanation for why. But what's interesting is, and this is my theory, and I could be wrong.
Okay.
Is that it depends on who he was talking to and where he was going.
Okay.
So for him to be all things to all people is, let me use a name that's more familiar, comfortable with these people.
That makes sense.
So before, when his beginning of his ministry, he focused heavily on the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And then he switched to, let me work on the common people. Like, the Gentiles, let me say it that way.
Yeah.
Not the common people, the Gentiles.
I mean, I feel like they saw it that way.
Yeah.
The common folk.
But yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So basically what you're saying is it would be the same now as if somebody was, their name had a different pronunciation.
Yeah.
In Spanish versus English.
Right.
So like if you were hanging out with Spanish people, they would pronounce your name different.
You could call me Pablo if I was in Mexico.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a name change based off of language.
Yeah.
So in some ways, Paul and Saul, that's why they sound the same.
Yeah. It's like the Roman version of it.
It's just weird that it's one letter change.
Yeah, right?
Because like, yeah, like Simon to Peter, I always think about that. But then he's often called Simon Peter.
Yeah, true.
And so it's like those two things together. So it is interesting. So Saul then is his Jewish name.
Yes.
And then Paul would be his Roman name.
Yeah.
So yeah. The state, the Roman state, or like our U.S. government, because spoiler alert, we live in America.
what?
If you can't tell by our accents.
<You're right>.
It's like your legal name. By the state, his legal name would have been Paul.
Yeah.
But in the synagogue, he would have been known as Saul.
They would call him Saul.
So that makes sense why Peter would say, what, Saul?
Who also known, known as Paul. Paul.
Yeah. Because of who he's talking to.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I see it with some Hispanics as well, but typically a lot of people from Asian countries.
Yeah.
Like China's a big one, where they'll have their American name and then they'll have their Chinese name.
Yeah. And that makes sense because the alphabets are completely different. And
yeah, and we can't pronounce half of them. So.
Right. Yeah, but I thought it was funny because like in that idea, it's like kind of like maybe his name was Saul, and then because the Jewish people didn't like what he was doing anymore.
Hit a rebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he got excommunicated from the Jewish church.
Right. And then he had to go by Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to just go by his government name.
That's kind of, I want to know if there's some research we can do on that. That's kind of an interesting one.
But I think the easiest explanation is that it was a language change.
Yeah.
But it is weird that in a lot of different places, we see names changing, which then brings up the point of like, why? Like, why does, like, in joke writing or in comedy, there's a concept of economy of words. And I feel like the Bible is very much that way.
Yeah.
That there's an economy of words, that like every word is important.
Yeah.
And there are things that aren't in there because it doesn't need to be that dense.
Yeah.
It can be stated in a simple, in the most simple way, which is why it's so like in depth and mysterious, because one line can mean the simplest thing and so much.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so I feel like the Bible uses economy of words. So it's weird then that we have this repetition of some people have different names. It's like, why would that even show up? Like, why would that be important?
Yeah.
It makes you think of like what is the importance of the names and why do they keep using them in different ways and how does that all interact?
It's kind of fascinating.
It is.
I think... Okay, so I have something to share with you.
Okay.
Now, when you say this, this might blow your mind if you don't know this.
Okay.
I didn't know this until recently.
Okay.
And it absolutely blew my mind.
Blow my mind.
Oh man, it's so good. It's so good. I got so many cool things to share with you.
Okay, okay, okay.
So, when it comes to names, because when we look through scripture,
okay,
God changes people's names. I mean, yeah. You brought up Simon and Peter. Mm-hmm. Simon Peter.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, Jesus actually was like, yeah, this is your name now.
Right, right, right.
We see that with Abraham or yes. Sarah, or Jacob and Israel. It's like, all these things, it's like, these are very significant changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it typically indicates what that person is supposed to do. So, okay. Like, I think I have it written down, actually. So,
And a lot of times it's reminiscent of the name previous.
Yes.
And it's almost like, and sometimes it is that, like Abraham, for example, Abram and Sarai.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were from a different place.
Right.
And then God calls them out, and then they become the father of the faith.
Yes.
And as they become the father of the faith, I believe that they aren't speaking, like, their native language wasn't Hebrew.
Right.
So they would have...
Because he was out of Mesopotamia.
Right.
So, yeah.
So they would have come into a new language.
Yeah.
So when their name is changing, is God revealing to them a new language?
That's an interesting question.
Or bringing them into a space where a new language exists, therefore their names have to change into that new alphabet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's kind of like that's his way of calling them into this new thing as well.
Right.
So it makes sense, like, this is a huge change for people.
Yeah.
So, like, Abram, for example, his name originally meant exalted father.
Okay.
And then God changes it to Abraham, which means father of a multitude.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's like, that's actually pretty significant, too.
It is.
Yeah, or Jacob and Israel. We know that Israel means he who wrestles with God.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's cool, especially because that's actually what he did.
Yeah.
And then we look at the entire history of Israel. They've done nothing but wrestle with God.
Yeah, even now.
Yeah, even now.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's quite significant. And so that got me thinking.
Okay.
I was like, okay, so we talk about the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah.
Okay, okay.
And it's like, there's a significant amount of things that happened.
I was like, we talk about the first 10? Okay.
we talk about all the time.
Okay.
Well, we've brought them up in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
And on one hand, it's like, genealogies are so boring. But
yeah.
we've talked about this on, like, why it's important as far as the bloodlines go.
Oh, yeah.
But then also, it's like, well, what about their names?
Right.
Because it's like, we don't see Adam Jr.
Sure.
You know, it's like... So, like, why don't we see that? Especially since people like to name their kids after themselves.
I know.
Well,
and they still kind of do that.
They still kind of do that.
But that is an interesting thing, though, because you're like, okay, if there's an economy of words,
yeah,
then a lot of times we just push through it and don't read the genealogies.
Yeah.
But if we would pay attention, it feels like you're about to unload why we should pay attention.
Yeah.
Because it seems like if there's an economy of words in the Bible, then the genealogies might actually say something that's more plain.
Yes, absolutely.
Than just names we can't pronounce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if we could, so what would it look like if we took all of the names in the genealogies and wrote out what they meant and how that interacted?
Yeah. So check this out.
Okay.
Check this out. You're going to love this.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this at all?
I mean, I don't
think you know what I'm going to say, but you might.
I hope not. I want you to blow my mind.
I want your mind to be blown. Okay. I'm so excited.
I hope I don't know.
Okay, so I'm gonna first just talk through who the people in this list are and what their names mean.
Okay.
So we start with Adam.
Okay.
And his means man. Very simple.
Yeah. Wait, stop on that for a second, though.
I knew you were going to do that.
Not for too long, but just like let it soak in. Because yeah. I don't want to talk about it too fast, the same way that people would just read through genealogies.
Okay. Yeah.
Because like, so what that means is, like, when you say someone's name, so your name is Paul, mm-hmm. and that means humble.
Yeah.
Like a humble, the humble one. The humble one. I like that. So like, in some ways, when I say Paul,
yeah,
it's synonymous to me saying the humble one.
No, that's true.
So, like, I could just say, hey, do you know the humble one?
Yeah.
And that I would be saying, do you know Paul?
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe that's what it is like we miss the fact that there is meaning in names.
True.
But we miss the fact that sometimes, especially in ancient texts.
Yeah.
Or even in, like, honestly, even in new fiction.
Hmm.
Like, so from one extreme to another, you have this, like, people are intentionally picking names.
Yeah.
Because they mean certain things.
It's yeah. true.
So, like, okay. So, Adam.
Actually, I'm going to go on a slight tangent.
Go ahead.
Of my original point.
I love it.
On your tangent.
Okay.
And
tangent
so
on tangent.
There was a study that was done.
Okay.
A little bit ago.
How little bit?
I don't know the date. Okay. So before today.
Okay. Deal.
And what they did is they took children 9 and 10 years old.
Okay.
And adults. And they put them in the room. They showed them and they asked them to match names to faces.
Oh, okay.
And everybody, the children and the adults, all pretty much got it almost everything right.
Wow.
Like way above the chance level.
Okay.
Of like it's like they can recognize these patterns.
Yeah.
And they were showing names and faces of adults.
Okay.
And then what they did was they did the same test but with children's faces.
Okay.
And they scored horribly low.
Really?
So it was kind of interesting. So they were like, people are able to identify names and faces. They can put them together. Like it's in if you meet someone like, oh, you look like a Steven.
Yeah.
Or you look like a Thomas.
You're, I get that.
And it's like that's yeah. kind of interesting. So it's like, why is that? Well, the other thing they did, because they put the results of that study in that study through a machine learning.
Okay.
And the machine also discovered that people with the same name tend to look more alike than people with different names.
Oh, weird.
And so the results from that kind of suggest that there's some kind of biological programming or some kind of social engineering that actually adjusts our appearance to match our names.
Okay, because I was just
because
about to ask that
when you look at children,
question.
It's like they don't share that. And children that have the same names don't look alike. But over time, they develop and their faces like adjust to match.
The name itself. So it's almost like the name exists
yeah.
in space and it has a DNA to it.
Yes.
And as you age, you move towards that DNA.
Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty crazy. It makes sense, though.
But it does make sense.
I mean, it's also on a basic level. It's a
like
nurture
every time
thing.
You say someone's name, like you're speaking something over that person,
right?
Like for me, oh, you yeah. said like, "Oh, you're the humble one. You're the royal one.
Yeah, yeah,
the crowned one.
Yes, the crowned
one." And it's
one.
Like every time your name is spoken, there's whether it's known or unknown, like there's a piece of that is getting spoken over you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, without knowing it. All my life, I've been called the crown one.
Yeah.
So, like, it just kind of seeps in
yeah.
the meaning of it yeah. without me even really thinking about it consciously.
There's a subconscious level to it.
Yeah, that's yeah. interesting. Yeah, well, that makes sense why your dad sat you down when you guys were 10.
He's like, listen up.
Yeah.
You're humble.
I want you to know what you're feeling. Yeah. That makes sense, though.
It's cool, though, right?
It is cool.
It's cool.
So, Adam means...
So, yes. So, man. Adam means man.
Okay. Which... Yeah, if he's the, I don't want to use a Platonic name. if he's the first man,
yes.
Then the first man, his name being man,
kind of makes sense.
It's also a little bit derivative.
It's a little on the nose, right?
Well, I guess not derivative because he's the first one.
Yeah, there's no one to compare it
so
to.
So it's like it's really just like. Man. You know what I mean?
Man.
Well, and in some ways, it's like when God creates in the Bible,
yeah.
he speaks it into existence.
Right.
So he says, man, and yeah. that's Adam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's almost like because Adam's name is man, we just understand that God created man.
Yeah, true.
And man's name is Adam.
Yeah.
But Adam means man.
It's
so man's
right?
name is man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's almost
that's
a
true.
Species title.
It kind of is. Yeah, it's yeah. a hierarchy in that.
Yeah.
But then that breaks down because he has kids with other names.
No, yeah.
It doesn't break down.
Well, I won't break it down that far. I just
no,
wanted
you're good.
I feel like we needed to set it up.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. And then so Adam, he
okay.
has a son, Seth.
Okay. But not first.
Not first.
Not
second.
First. Okay.
We don't actually know when, but probably third, maybe.
Well, we do know how old he was.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was old.
He's like 130, I think.
Yeah, he was an old fella.
Yeah.
So,
but we don't actually know. The most interesting thing to me about that is, did he age in the garden? Or did he fully come to age?
It's a whole other topic.
I know.
Because then you got to bring the tree of life.
I know. Well, that's where you'd have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we kind of know, like, the next time marker for him is 130.
Right.
I think it's 130. And it's based on when Seth is born.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I know, so, we got, like, some interesting markers with that, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, tree of life, I mean, it must have been. All right, no more rabbit trails.
Okay.
Let's keep going through the genealogies.
So I'll start it over so we don't miss it, because it's a through line here that we got here.
Yeah, yeah.
So Adam means man.
Yes.
His son Seth, his name means appointed.
Okay.
And then Seth has a son, Enosh, and Enosh means mortal, frail, or miserable, from the root Enosh, to be incurable. And then we have his son, Kenan, which means sorrow or dirge. And then his son, Mahalalel, means blessed God, from Mahalal for blessed and El for God. And then he has a son, Jared, which means shall come down. And then his son, Enoch, means commencement or teaching. And then Enoch's son, Methuselah, means his death shall bring, from Muth for death, Shalak for bring or send forth. And then Methuselah, he has a son, Lamech, which means despairing, similar to our word for lament or lamentation. And then Lamech's son, Noah, means comfort or rest. Now, in order.
Now, this genealogy, yeah, because I want you to read it how it says it.
Which, yeah, I'm about to.
I see what you're about to do, and that's really cool. You see what's going to happen? But real quick, those genealogies are Genesis 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Genesis 5, 28 through 6, 7.
And then Matthew 1.
Yeah.
So these are the genealogies leading up to Jesus.
Correct.
Going all the way back to Adam.
Yeah.
And then to God.
Yep.
So you're like, well, what about Cain and Abel? Not super important right now.
They don't matter right
They're
now.
Actually a different episode.
Yes.
Because there's a reset here in Genesis 5.
There is.
That resets what the genealogy is.
Yeah.
Which is why the bloodline's important.
Yeah.
So tell us their names. So, but tell the story that their names tell.
So their names, in order, and the only thing I added here was...
And this is 1 through 10.
Yes.
This is the first 10 generations from
Adam. These are just the
Adam.
Meanings of their names.
Yeah.
The only thing I did was add some articles in here to make it easier to read.
Yeah. So you're basically taking the what their names mean into a paragraph.
Yes. Only the meanings of their names.
Right. So this paragraph that Paul's about to say... is just the meanings of their names back to back to back from Adam
to Noah.
To Noah through the line of Seth, not through Cain and Abel.
Correct. Because you can't get to Noah through
Cain. You can't get to anybody through Cain
or Abel. Yeah, Abel. Okay, so this put together says, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest.
Say that one more time.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy.
Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest.
That's crazy.
Doesn't that give you tingles?
Yes.
it gives me the like little chills when I hear it.
So what we're saying, like, is that in Genesis 5.
Yeah. We are given a gospel message.
Through the names.
Yes.
Of the first 10 generations.
Yeah.
From Adam through Seth to Noah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Especially because Noah is the reset.
Yes. And I think, so going back to this as well, this is the fun, like, little, even further in, where it's like there's so much depth to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only... do we have a gospel message through their names? So it's like their names and what they were named is so important.
Right.
It's like that's almost divine in and of itself.
Yeah.
But even on top of that, what they did in their life reflected their own name. Enoch is a big one. Enoch's whole thing was, let me reteach knowledge.
Yeah.
Noah's thing was, let me bring rest to the to the bloodline here.
Yeah.
Like, let me reset everything.
Yeah. So you actually get this whole, like, you get this whole speaking of who Jesus will be.
Yeah.
But also a fulfillment in their names.
Yes.
In real time.
It's crazy.
So it's not just prophetic to what will come ultimately, but it's prophetic to what God's already doing through that specific generation.
Yes.
So by the time you get to Noah, you find that that is where there will be rest again and peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
It is very cool.
That was like a new discovery for me. I was like, this is incredible. Like, I've never heard this before.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you're not reading into anything.
Mm-mm.
It's what was intended to be understood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, that's the thing is like, everybody's name means something. It's the reason why like they keep bringing it up.
Yeah, true.
Like you keep bringing it up and you're like, all right, cool. Jacob decides to just stay all night and wrestle with the angel yeah. of the Lord. And then he makes it a point to go, oh yeah, well now your name's Israel.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why was that in there at all?
Yeah.
Why does it matter to us that Jacob's name is now yeah. Israel?
Well, what does it mean? In the beginning, why was his name Jacob?
Sure.
And it was because his dad, when he was born, saw that he was grabbing onto Esau's heel.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, he's grabbing onto his heel, so his name's Jacob.
Right.
It's like, that's what Jacob means?
Yes.
Even yes. Esau, he was the hairy one.
Yes.
it's like yeah. we're told right there the importance of names,
mm-hmm.
where it's like what they did when they were born or what they looked like when they were born
right.
determined what their name was.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because even now, it's like, I feel like we're a little flippant with names sometimes.
Yeah.
And we miss this important thing.
Yeah.
That it's like what you call your children or your friends or even then, it's like that speaking into them what their life could be or what you're expecting from them.
Yeah.
And yeah. so you see Jacob yeah, yeah. going back to him, it's like before his name is changed, he's always on the heels of Esau, just trying to undermine the things by stealing his birthright. You know, by, you know, whatever he does. Yeah, I can't yeah, think yeah. of the other one right now. But it's like he's always on the heels of Esau. And then he has this encounter with God, and God says, now your name's different.
Yeah.
Now this is what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Because yeah. there's yeah. so many things, there's so many things like that where it's like, if you, I think here's the tough thing. We always need everybody to spell stuff out for us.
Yes.
And so thank you, Paul, for spelling it out for us.
You're welcome.
But I think that that's why we get lost in the genealogies is because we're going, it's not spelling it out for us. It yeah. actually is in the most simple form.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit more work to actually look into, like, what do these names mean and what story is it telling?
Which, I mean, to be fair, in our culture today, it's like that's not something we really consider.
Sure.
It's like when I meet someone, like, I didn't know that's what your name meant until right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because it's not in our nature to be like, oh, what's your name? That's cool. What does that mean?
That's true.
It's like we don't even think to care about that.
Yeah. And some of that might be like the English language.
That's true.
Like, it might yeah. be more lost on English speakers.
Hmm.
Because, like, when I hear in translating songs to Spanish, like, when you do that, it's like, I've talked to people who have translated songs that I've worked on.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it kind of means, and they're like trying to paint a picture
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, like that has so much more life and feeling to that's it. Cool. English is just so flat.
Hmm.
So I feel like that's actually like, and maybe that's like pushing into the root of like a big issue with the American church or the Western church
yeah.
is the flattening and the non-importance of language.
Yeah.
Because everything is so flattened and simplified.
Well, even like our very colorful words that we do have in English, we don't use them.
What do you mean by that?
I'm trying to think of like a good example right now.
Well, I guess generation to generation also, like that's what we
see, like a simplification of language. Let me say it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the words we use are much more simplified in their meaning
mm-hmm.
than some of the words that are actually available to us.
Yeah. Yeah, so like a word that would express, like if I were trying to paint a picture for you, I'd have to use way more words
yeah.
in English.
Yeah.
Because all of that stuff is simplified. If I could just say it's like this, and all of a sudden you get this big image of something, yeah. and all I did was reference one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I guess we do that with like, with proper nouns. Like, I guess we could do that with like, well, it's like Disney World.
Mm.
And you go like, okay, there's a feeling to that. But like, you know, I guess that like, I don't know. That doesn't really play out as much.
Mm.
But I like the meaning. Mm. If I called my kid Disney, like if my kid's first name was Disney,
yeah.
that would create a response from a lot of people of magic and joy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which
that's true.
Yeah. So like if their yeah. name was Disney, but it also emits that whole thing of like going back to what we initially talked about, which was Stephen and Paul.
Yeah.
It's like in the context of the Bible, it all of a sudden those names mean something completely different.
Yeah.
And true. So there's like a whole storyline behind it. But yeah,
I think that's what's cool, even kind of beating a dead horse a little bit here. But it's like even looking at Stephen and Paul's life in their ministry.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what was his face doing before he was stoned? It's like, oh, his face was shining because of the wisdom.
Yeah.
That he was speaking from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And it's like he was exalted in that way of like his righteousness was showing.
Yes.
His glory was showing. You know what I mean?
Stephen, watch out. Your righteousness is showing.
Stephen, cover that up. You know what I mean? It's like he was brought up to this exalted place.
Yeah.
Because of his faithfulness to the Lord. And then Paul was great inside of the ministry he was in.
And then he was humble.
But he made himself humble, and he was also humbled.
Yeah.
And he was brought low to another place.
Yeah.
And then he worked to keep himself there.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's actually really cool.
It is, because there's so much to that that ties in. And it's like, you're reading into it. It's like, no, actually, we're trying to breathe life back into it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, that's the thing is like, the English Bible is, it's just so flat. A lot of times.
And honestly, I think that's why we get bored of it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too. Because it is that whole thing of like, well, just whatever it says directly on the surface is what it means. And it's like, that's true. The Bible is fascinating. And if you just read exactly what it says in flat English, it's like there's a ton of crazy stuff. There's a ton of really interesting things. And then there's also life through who Jesus is and what he did for us. But if we look back into the original language, we look into the pictures painted through the words, we look at it and go, okay, this economy of words, as everything is laid out perfectly in this text, you can see how it all interplays and how one thing plays on the other, and it speaks to what is to come as well as what just happened, and it all interlocks. That's why, like, even if you read Genesis in Hebrew, it all the words kind of play off of each other. So there's a big thing in Hebrew where an opposite word has characters of the other word in it.
Mm.
So it sounds like it's an opposite of the word that comes before it.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's this interplay of the Hebrew language that has this movement to it where it's like, this thing is the opposite and it mirrors it in this interesting way. So these words that are opposites kind of sound similar, but backwards.
Hmm.
And there's this movement that happens as you read Hebrew that paints this picture that like, when we just read like, in the beginning was the word.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if I say it, if James Earl Jones says it, it sounds really cool.
Now it's amazing.
Yeah. But if I just say, in the beginning was the word.
You're like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's like, what are we about to...
What's for the potluck after church?
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. There is all this stuff in it. But I think one of the things I love about this concept is that that simple idea, even from that study of going like, when you say someone's name, you're actually speaking something over them.
Yeah.
And it might actually help you to know what your name means.
I think it's true. Yeah.
And change it if you should.
Everyone, just go to the courthouse, get your name changed, something cool.
You actually can do that.
Everyone's just going to pick Stephen.
Well, if they're smart, they'll pick Paul.
Let's go.
Yeah, if they're humble.
Like, I want to be the exalted one.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my name right after this.
You can't you can't give yourself the name Stephen. It has to be given to you.
Are you putting a gatekeeping Stephen now?
Just gaslighting everybody.
Stolen valor if it's chosen.
But I don't. Did you ever have friends? Like, I had a friend growing up who was a good childhood friend, and then as we, I think after he turned 18, his parents always called him by his middle name, and then when he turned 18, he swapped it, and he like made everybody call him what his first name was.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, I know people like that. Yeah,
you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, why are you putting this on me? But also, I could
see a lot for me to work with.
Like, it was for him, it was an intentional life switch.
Yeah.
Like, he was being a different person.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think I need to go buy a different name.
Mm.
And there is something in that.
You know, it's interesting you say that, bringing it back to the Bible, too.
Let's
for that example, is like, we look at Sarai and Sarah,
mm-hmm.
her name change. The meaning of her name is actually the same. I believe it means princess.
Okay.
And it's the same. Both spellings or both versions of that name.
Yeah.
But I think what's important about it is this was a new chapter in her life that was the Lord had spoken into.
Okay.
And it's like, even though your name means the same thing, you still have the same calling, we're going to turn the page. You're onto a new chapter now.
That's cool.
And I think that's kind of the same thing you're getting at here.
Yeah.
Is like, yeah, this was, his name was always that.
Right.
But it was just like, now I want to be called that. Because I want to open up this new chapter of my life.
Yeah.
And I want to enter it with this calling.
Right. So what's your middle name again?
Franklin Thomas. And I don't know what Franklin means, actually. I used to know that.
Do you know what Thomas means?
It means twin.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean doubting one?
Which is funny. My younger brother, his name is Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Thomases in
that is funny.
This family here.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think that plays out. I think it's also a clue to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, so speaking to this just for a second, like, the Bible is full of a bunch of clues to things. Mm. But sometimes it's not a clue to the thing you think it is. And I think what happens is, like, I think you can get really caught up in peripheral things.
Hmm.
And I think that's one of the things, even talking about this, it's like, maybe the Bible is not, like, the Bible is not necessarily trying to say something subconsciously through what every word means.
Yeah.
But in some ways, it's... that makes the story rich. So like in this instance, that makes that story rich. And it also ties in what has kind of happened, which is an abandonment of the Old Testament in modern evangelical churches because of avoiding or not doing the study or finding the richness of things like this.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how about just like look at what their names mean?
Yeah.
And how that testifies of who Jesus will be.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or maybe it opens up this richness in Genesis 5 of God's redemptive story already happening.
Hmm.
And you kind of go like, well, that must be important.
Yeah.
That must be significant if it speaks, especially if it testifies of who Jesus will be. And so like as you look through all of those things, but then you have like this whole numerology. You have all these things that can happen because the Hebrew language also doubles as their numeric system.
Yeah, there's a lot of math involved in.
Yeah, I mean, the
linguistics of it. Yeah.
There is and there isn't.
Yeah,
it's like that idea of like when there are. It's like the idea of is it the cherubim in Ezekiel where they have four faces, and when they move, it's like they're not moving.
Yeah,
in any direction because they're, and it's like what he's describing is actually kind of simple.
Mm.
It's the fact that they can see in all directions.
Yeah.
That's all it's describing.
He's using very fantastic language to say that.
Yeah, it's like, how do I describe
that
there's a being that when they move, they can see in all directions at once?
Mm.
But they have four faces.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they don't literally have four faces.
Because they could literally have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does mean that like he's trying to express something that is actually kind of simple.
Yeah, true.
Like they very well could have had four faces. They very well could have currently four faces.
Mm.
and again, that's probably a completely different episode of like looking into another dimensional space or another, you know, another, another layer or into the spiritual, and not being able to perceive it the way it's actually, watching. It's like, and most likely Ezekiel is basically just, he's watching a 3D movie without 3D glasses.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is, my eyes can't really comprehend what's happening.
It's hard to focus on this.
Yeah. And so what he's seeing looks like, you know, like there are those things that they're offset, and then if you spin them really fast,
they
create an image. It's like he's seeing it not being spun.
Mm.
And it's like disorienting.
Yeah.
And so this is what it is, but it's actually humming or buzzing at a certain rate. So like if I could see it,
then it would
with the right eyes,
make sense.
Then it would make sense. And it is a different being.
Yeah.
But it's that type of thing. It's like the language of it and what he's actually saying.
Hmm.
It is, he's trying to describe something. And I think that the Bible is trying to, and the writers of the Old Testament even are intentionally writing specific things to tell us something with an economy of words. They're not trying to lay everything out for us.
Yeah.
It's the reason why it doesn't say, and then there's Adam. Adam means man.
Yeah.
And then Seth. And Seth means, you know, it's like, it's not, true. They're not going to say this means that, because when they're talking to the original listener, they already know what it means.
Yeah. They would already have that understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like my oldest son all the time will be like, I already know that. You don't have to tell me that anymore. It's like, this is the first time I've told you this. It's just like he learned a new phrase or something, but it's like,
he's like, I get it.
Yeah. He's like, I get it. Stop telling me this. And that's like, that happens a lot in the scripture where it's like, oh, I'm just not going to tell you this because you already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that happens all the way through.
And we see that in the book of Esther.
Yeah.
It says, this is already written about in the book of Kings. So you just go look that up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens in Chronicles too.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it happens all the way through where it's like it's referencing all these other things.
Yeah, it's like this is already written down. Just go read that thing.
Yeah.
I'll keep moving on.
Yeah. But I love that idea though of names, that like what you're like, that you grow into what you're being called.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with what you're saying, is the wrong message to take from this is that you're supposed to do whatever your name means.
Yeah.
And it's like that, oh, like that's it. Done. Because we see that, again, the people that Jesus, the people that he changed names of, or that God changed their name, it's like he said, no, that's not your calling.
Right.
This is your calling.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing when we do look at it. It's like our names are important.
Yeah.
Because they do influence us. They influence how we look.
Yeah.
They influence how we act.
Yeah.
How people treat us. Like all those things, whether they're subconscious or conscious. But for us to put our stake, everything that we are, into what our name means, and that's what we're supposed to do. Well, now we're just creating a new zodiac, essentially. And it's like, and that's not the right message to take out of it. But I think the right message to take is your name does mean something, and it does impact you.
Right.
And we should be aware of what that means and what we should do about it.
Yeah. I mean, take Israel, for example.
Mm.
Israel means what?
To wrestle with God.
To wrestle with God.
Yeah.
So Israel could either choose to go, well, that's what my name means, so that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Mm.
Or they could receive the salvation that comes from Jesus.
Yeah.
And step into a new reality.
Yeah.
And no longer be just Jewish under the law, but be redeemed from the law and step into being a Christian or a Messianic Jew.
Yeah.
And there's new titles to that. There's new names to that for a reason. And that all lays in perfectly.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Because even when we look at Philip, who was our martyr today, he was actually the first one to be given the title disciple.
Yeah, which is cool.
And I think that's really cool because it's like, well, what is a Christian? It's a Christ follower.
Right.
It's a disciple of Christ.
Yeah.
So we're stepping out of Israel into someone who actually follows Christ.
Yeah.
Like that's our new name.
Yeah. Yeah, in some ways, Israel's new name was to be Christian.
Yeah. And all the Christians out there, they're really loving themselves right now.
I know. Yeah, I love that. That's cool.
That is cool.
I like it.
So it was fun.
It was.
It's a fun little journey we went on, wasn't
it? It was. Hopefully it was simple and you didn't get lost along the way.
But I hope it also gets you excited to read genealogies in a new way.
Yeah. And I think maybe a little bit at a time.
Yeah, because they're still kind of boring.
Yeah. I mean,
no, they're not.
It's okay.
It's okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot going on there. But I think that's the important thing. And I think is one of the things that we're doing here is let's open this up a little bit more. You said it's the economy of words. Like everything means something in the Bible.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's those things that are just like, this is so boring. Why did they put this in here?
Right.
And instead of being like, why did they put this in here? We just go, eh.
Yeah.
But I think, and that's the question that I had going into this is like, let's really dive into like, why is this here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is this important?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also like, it's a good way to constantly be talking about God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a simple way to do it. It's like, well, you could sit in your car, or pick up your friend and hang out on a Friday night and be like, huh, that new pair of shoes is cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you could be like, who's Melchizedek?
Oh, let's go. Which is funny because it's funny because to us, that's like the greatest Friday night.
I know.
And then some of the people are like, oh my gosh.
I know. Let's dig
like,
into
that
it.
That sounds like the best night ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And to those that might listen and be like, this is too much of this is bad or whatever. It's like anything that ultimately testifies of who Jesus is not bad.
Yeah.
And should push you in.
Yeah.
It should push you closer. So yeah, I think this whole thing is really interesting. And also the genealogies are a little heavy, but maybe start out and stick them out a little bit longer than you did last time. And then maybe just look them up one by one and then skip them. And then when you come back to it the next year, then look up a few more.
Yeah.
Because I think that they're all trying to say something and the names are there for a couple of reasons, really.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they're doing is they're telling a story by what the people's names actually mean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
cool. Which is
cool. Yeah.
And I think, the coolest thing about that is when we look at the Bible, what makes it so interesting is that the gospel story, the story that it's ultimately telling, is just embedded everywhere.
Yeah.
Going back to St. Augustine, all truth is God's truth.
Yeah.
And everything points back to him and the message of why he's here.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the 66 books of the Bible that we have.
Yeah.
Everything points to who he is and what he's done.
Right. Yeah.
And what he will do.
Yeah. So, read your genealogies, kid.
That's your homework. Comment below what your favorite Bible name is.
Yeah.
And what it means.
Yeah. And then the other thing from Dr. Michael Heiser is if it's in the Bible and it's weird, it's probably important.
So good.
So if you are like having a hard time reading a name, don't be like, who cares about this person? Figure out what it is. Or like, that's a weird name. Nimrod? What does that
what
mean?
What a Nimrod.
What does that mean? Where does that come from?
I love how you pick up the most interesting, like one of the most interesting characters.
Try.
This guy.
Yeah, so your assignment is Melchizedek and Nimrod. That'll keep you busy for a while.
Until the next episode.
Until the 100th episode.
Yes, sir.
When we finally tell you what it means.
And we still don't know.
We'll figure it out, though.
I think we're getting there.
I don't know.
We're not.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We'll see you next time on Martyrs Row. 3, 2, 1.